So our reading comes from Judges, which is in the Old Testament. And if you have a church Bible, it's on page 171. So it's Judges chapter 2, verses 6 to 19. And then we jump to chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. Judges chapter 2, verses 6 to 19. After Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up, who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them. Just as he had sworn to them, they were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshipped them. Unlike their fathers, they quickly turned from the way in which their fathers had walked, the way of obedience to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord had compassion on them as they groaned under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to ways even more corrupt than those of their fathers, following other gods and serving and worshipping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. So going over to chapter 3, verse 7. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherahs. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram-Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. So the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died.
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. I am, of course, talking about Superman. So when it comes to your superheroes, are you more a DC person or a Marvel? Any Batman fans here? Here is Batman right here. He's here. All right, so he's obviously DC. All right, good work. Alright, so some might be Batman or Superman, and maybe others, maybe you're more Spider-Man or Captain America or Iron Man. Does it make a difference if you're one or the other? Whatever superhero you might be or want to be, they're about saving, aren't they? Protecting the people and using their power to save from danger or from evil. Although the latest Batman vs. Superman movie, The Dawn of Justice, Seems to have been a bit of a flop. Seems like there's no saving of that movie. I haven't seen it and I don't plan to. Maybe it is okay. I don't know. And when you look at the core of superheroes, they're about doing good. An individual making a difference. And maybe it's all fantasy. Well, it is a comic book. But there's a sense, isn't there, that all of us do want to do some good. We want to make a difference in this world. We want to make a contribution to the people who are around us and to this world that we live in. So I wonder, do you believe that you have a part to play in God's plan of saving this world? If that's the big thing that God is on about, saving people, that they come to a knowledge of Him, what part do you think that you play in that? Whether you're young or not so young, what part do you play? What's your role in God's world? So that's a question worth pondering. And as we look at this little mini-series in Judges, that's a question that's going to keep coming up time after time. We're going to be looking at four of the lesser judges. So Othniel, Ehud, Jael, and Jephthah. So we're going to start with Othniel. Likely or unlikely hero? He is a hero. He's the first one to lead Israel after Joshua. So Joshua, he had taken them into the promised land. And now Othniel, he's going to save them from the hands of the enemy and then give them peace in the land for 40 years. So he's definitely a hero. The people would have seen him that way. But likely or unlikely? It's only five verses that we have for him and that we're looking at. So Othniel is the first judge or deliverer or tribal chieftain. Now I checked a few kids' Bibles, some of my favourite kids' Bibles, and there was no Othniel. No Othniel. And most of them did have Gideon, Samson. Just maybe Deborah, and one or two just skipped the judges totally, weren't even there. Othniel, he is the first judge, and he gives us an example of that cycle that we saw in the overview in chapter 2. So let's have a look at this. All right, so that's the cycle that we saw. And we'll see this in these verses in chapter 3, 7 to 11. So firstly, verse 7, and you'll see how for each one in chapter 3, how it reflects that in chapter 2. So verse 7, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs, just like it was said in chapter 2. So this is where we have the first part of the cycle, that of sin. And then next, the next verse, chapter 3, verse 8, we have the next part, oppression. So because of the sin, we have the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram-Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. So oppressed for 8 years, just like it said in chapter 2:14, would happen, the second part of the cycle, oppression. And then, well, what are you going to do if you've been oppressed? You're going to cry out to the Lord. And that is the next part, and exactly then what they do. Next verse, verse 9. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. Now here we're told a little bit more about who this guy is. Who is Othniel? Well, he's Caleb's younger brother, or more likely half-brother, or maybe nephew. Now, we know Caleb, don't we? An outstanding leader for God's people, for Judah, for Israel. He trusted God, didn't he? He was there with Joshua. Remember, with the 12 spies, they check out the land. They bring back the report. And Caleb and Joshua, they wanted to go in and take the land. They wanted to trust God. But everyone else was like, oh, we can't do it. They're too big. We can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb, they said, yes, we can do it because God is with us and he will go before us and give us the land just as he promised. So Caleb, he would have been a bit of a hero in his family. Everyone would look up to him. He was a man of God. Well, Othniel is related to him. Othniel is from the tribe of Judah. Now, it's appropriate, isn't it, that the first judge, the first rescuer or savior is from Judah. Because where would our savior, where would the great rescuer, where would he come from? The tribe of Judah. So even at this point, Othniel, he starts preparing us for another great rescuer who will come from Judah, Jesus. All right, so he's related to Caleb. He is from the tribe of Judah. And he has experience. All right, he's won a battle before. Othniel, he's got experience. So in chapter one, so just a little bit earlier on there, it spoke about the battle that he won there. Right? He's already led the people to victory. So I'm thinking he's a likely hero. Because he's related to Caleb, he's from the tribe of Judah, and he's already won a battle. And in winning this battle, he also won himself a wife. He got Caleb's daughter as the prize for leading the people in victory here. But now in chapter 3, this victory is very much God's victory, right? God rescuing his people. So verse 10 of chapter 3. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, so that he became Israel's judge and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. So God empowers Othniel. God gives the enemy into his hand. So it's not so much that Othniel is great, but that God is great. And God chooses Othniel and uses him to rescue his people. And then we have verse 11. So the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. And then with us, the cycle is complete. He's delivered the people and then peace, and they have peace for 40 years. So he's got to be a hero, right, for the Israelites. He's saved them. They were oppressed for 8 years, but he was the one who brought them out. He led them to victory. And we're not told any more. This is all we're told about him. But it's probable that during that time of peace, those 40 years, that he continued to be their judge or their leader right up until his death. And I'm assuming in that time that because things were going so well, that he led them back to God, to know God and to worship God. Now that's a leader we want, isn't it? Someone who will call the people back to God and get them focused on God, on who God is and God's purposes are for this world. Lifting their eyes up from themselves to God, to the creator of this world, to the one whom we are made for, the one who gives us our breath, the one who knows how many hairs are on our head, and looking around, some of us are making that easier for him than others, myself included. Right, he's the one who has knit us together in our mother's womb. He's blessed many of us with children. He gives us work, and when we go to work, we're not just serving our boss, or you might be the boss, but when we work, we go to serve. God is our boss. We are working for him. So Othniel may well have been a leader who led the people to worship God for these 40 years that the land has peace. He leads them to know God and to walk in his ways. So he's the first judge, and he may well have been the greatest judge that we read here in Judges. And he points us to Jesus, to the great judge, the great rescuer. So is he a hero? Yes. Now this series, though, it's titled The Age of Unlikely Heroes. Is he unlikely? Because everything we've said so far says that he's likely. Because he's already won a victory before. He's from the tribe of Judah. He's related to Caleb, so all of that sounds quite likely. But I'm thinking that he thought his best days were behind him. I reckon he thought that he's done his bit. He's probably thinking, I've worked hard all my life. I won that battle all those years ago. Now it's time for someone else to take the lead. Right, he was much younger back then. Maybe at least 30 years have passed between that previous victory. Right, it's a couple of pages in our Bible, but it's at least 30 years. Right, so he's thinking, all right, time for me to put my feet up. I'm going to play golf. I'm going to cruise the Mediterranean. But God says no. God says not yet, buddy. I've still got work for you to do. You're still of great use. You can contribute to what I'm doing. God says you're not too old for me. So Othniel, here you go, a bit of a drawing. Whether he's young at his first battle or much older when he then leads them the second time, young man or old man can be used in God's plans. Now this morning, as you came in, who were you greeted by? Was it who was it? Lots of children. Lots of children. Yeah, I think Jonathan, Jordan, Amelia might have been there. Maybe there were others. That's great, isn't it? Seeing the kids being welcomed to church by a child, smiling, giving you the handout. And were they on their own, or was there someone older there? Len was there. Okay. So the kids did a great job, but Len was there. Someone older, was there, wiser and more mature. Right? And they need someone older there just to help them in what they're doing, and to model to them how to welcome people at the door. So Len might have been in the background, but very important for someone older to be showing the younger people what to do. So I reckon here in this church, we've said it before, one of the great things is the mix of ages all together as one. And maybe an area that we can keep working on as we grow together is older people mentoring those who are younger. So it might be grandfathers mentoring the fathers and your fathers the kids. So it can work at a number of levels. Older people training up and mentoring those who are younger. I love that Derek every week is walking the streets wanting to share the new life of Jesus with people. Right? He could say, I've done that for years. I've done that before. I don't need to do that anymore. But he so much wants people to hear the good news of Jesus that still he goes every week so that the new people who are living in these suburbs, many from other nations, get to hear the good news of Jesus. Paul and Megan each week are doing ESL in the ponds. Could be example after example. Last week I was talking to a guy, Bill, up in the ARV. Now, I don't know how old Bill is, but getting on in years. And he was telling me everything that he's done in the past and serving, like as a warden and parish council and that type of thing. And talking about now how it's great seeing younger men and women step up and take the lead and responsibility. Now, he was sounding like he was saying that he's done and now it's time that, and these are his words, not mine, that he's old and now time for the younger people to be doing the work. But ironically, as he's telling me this, it's half an hour before church starts and he's setting out all the Bibles and prayer books. He's there like 20 minutes before anyone else is arriving, telling me, oh, it's time for the younger people to do it, and now he's not. He's right there serving, right? So he might be, like, getting on in years, but he's still getting involved and serving. There's another man there in the ARV. I think he's 89. He's looking to start a life group there in the ARV. Every week he goes to the Quakers Hill Nursing Home to visit residents there, just to speak with them, to maybe pray with them if they want to do that, and maybe share Jesus with them. He's older than most of those people. He's not thinking, yep, I'm done. Right? So it doesn't matter whatever our age, that while we're here on earth, we can be a part of God's plan. The Tingles, young family, about to head to Thailand. Now, you might be thinking, well, that will never be me. I'm too old for that, or I could never do that. And that might be true. But all of us can partner with them. And maybe the way that God will use you in Chiang Mai, you might be the person who gets them across the line this week so that they can book their flights. You might be in a position where you can give them $100 a month for the next few years. Maybe God has blessed you financially and you are able to support them for whatever amount it is. Or maybe you can say, I'm going to commit to praying for these guys with my family, and we're going to do this every day or whatever it is going to be for you. Right? And in that way, you can partner with them and you can be part of God's work in Chiang Mai. You mightn't be there, but you might still be able to be a vital part of enabling Matt and Elisa and their girls to be doing their ministry there. What's God doing in this world? He wants people to know him. And every single one of us can play a part in that, whatever our age. God can use every single one of us here on this earth. So keep going. In your home, in this church, in this community, in this world. Keep going and serving him. We can be part of something big. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your kingdom. Father, we pray that your kingdom would come. Father, we thank you for Jesus, that he is the King, that he is our great rescuer. And we thank you that by trusting in him, we come to be part of your kingdom and the big plans that you have for this world and bringing people back to know you. Father, thank you for the way that you've done that for us. And Father, we thank you that we can play a part, however big or small, in what you are doing in this world. And thank you that we're not on our own, but you give us your Holy Spirit. You give us the power to be able to go and do your work. So enable us to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.